Let's begin the discussion of the seven mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach, the non-Jews, are obligated to keep. We're looking at the back of the very last sheet. We look at the Rambam, the very back of the sheets. The Rambam at the very end of Perek Ches of Hilchos Melachim, the very end of in the top of the page. Halacha Yod, the very first line. Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchil haTorah mitzvahs ela liYisrael. Shenemar Moroshon lekilat Yaakov. That only the Jewish people were granted the obligation of keeping Torah and mitzvahs, mishor umos, and anybody who wants to convert, avomi shelo ratzah ein kofinos olakabel Torah mitzvahs. But a person, but we were never told that we should impose any of the mitzvahs on anybody else besides the Jewish people. V'chein tziva Moshe Rabbeinu v'agvura. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, L'chof is kol bo'ei olam, L'kabel mitzvos shenitzavu b'nei Noach. But we were commanded to enforce, to impose, the seven mitzvos that were commanded to non-Jews, b'nei Noach. And that again is referring to times when we'll be in that kind of a position. It's referring to times either when we will have the ability to do so in Eretz Yisrael, and we won't be, and the ideas of, and the full ideas of democracy will not be imposed upon us, and those will be able to maintain a theocratic democracy or some kind of blend. But it'll become clear that we will be able to impose these mitzvahs, al kol be'olam, and then perhaps eventually, and being able to impose the seven mitzvahs on the entirety of the people. And the Rambam writes, v'chol mishlo kibel yihoreg, and if a person does not want to accept the seven mitzvahs, then we will have the ability to mete out punishment as well. V'mekabel osam huan nikro ger toshav. And whenever we refer, this is the Rambam's position, whenever we refer to an halacha, a ger toshav, a non-full-fledged convert, a ger tzedek is a full-fledged convert, a ger tzedek is a person who has come to accept all 613 mitzvahs. But then there's a concept of ger toshav, a person who has not accepted the 613 mitzvahs. However, he apparently is within his observance is of such a nature that he can stay living amongst us, living in Eretz Yisrael. And that's a person who has accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs. And here the Rambam is a chiddush, v'tzaruch lekabel lo b'fnei shlosha chaverim. The idea of becoming a ger toshav is not that a person adopts the mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs, but there has to be a formal acceptance in front of three chaverim. It needn't be a full-fledged beis din, but the idea of a non-Jewish person saying that he accepts upon himself the obligation of the seven mitzvahs, v'chol mekabel olam lomol, we'll leave for another time. That has more to do with a process in gradations. Yud Aleph, kol mekabel seven mitzvahs, v'nizer la'asosan, anybody who keeps the seven mitzvahs and is careful about them, hareze mechasidei umos olam, he's considered to be amongst the noble of the non-Jews. V'yesh lo chelek lom habon, he has a portion in all in the world to come. That means that in Rambam's position, that means he has neshama will endure, and it may even mean that in the times of Mashiach he'll have a portion there as well. Mizoshi kabil osan v'yasosan. Here the Rambam makes the caveat. However, a non-Jew becomes chasidi umas olam, one of the nobility of the non-Jew, non-Jewish world, if he's accepted upon himself. It's not enough to practice them, but one has to accept them. V'yaso son b'bnei shetzivim nekodesh baruch hu v'torah. And then the further step, that he has to do it because God is commanding him to do it. V'hodi ono ay de Moshe Rabbeinu. And that we receive these mitzvahs via Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebnei Noach mikodnum in stavu ben. The Moshe Rabbeinu told us that these are obligatory on the non-Jewish world. So part of becoming a ger toshav is to accept them, and part of becoming one of the moral, the nobility, the non-Jewish people, is to accept that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's commanded Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an acceptance of the veracity of our Torah. Avalim also in b'nei echrei hadas, but if a non-Jewish person keeps the seven mitzvahs because he thinks it's a good idea, it makes sense to him, ein ze ger toshav. That's not a ger toshav. He hasn't accepted upon himself a sense of being commanded, and has accepted upon himself that it's a divine command. Certainly he's not accepted upon himself the veracity of Moshe's Torah. So he's not a ger toshav. And then there's the different nuschos in the Rambam. The R version reads ve'eino mechasidu umus ha'olam ve'lo mechachameim, and he's not considered to be one of the sort of nobility of the noblemen of the non-Jewish people, and he's not considered to be a wise person. And other versions have he's not mechasidu umus ha'olam because he isn't accepting upon himself the veracity of Torah elo mechachameim, but he is a very wise man because he comes to these ideas on his own. So here the Rambam sets out what is the position of having the seven mitzvot Noach. Then in the next halacha, Perek Tes halacha Aleph, there the Rambam defines al shisha devarim nitztava Adam Rishon. There were six things that Adam was commanded, and Noach received the seventh. And this is already again a unique position of the Rambam. What are they? Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Birchas Hashem, the prohibition to curse God. Al shichas damim, murder, gilei arayos, adultery, al gezel, theft, al adinim, to set up a court system. Ve'af al-pi shekula nein kabola biyadenu, mimosher reinu, v'adas notelen, mechlal divi ha-Torah, v'yir'esh al-elu nitztave. Alright, where does this Rambam come from? So let's begin at the beginning of the sugya now. Now that we have understand what the sentence is, what their place is in halacha. So let's begin with the beginning of the sugya, the very bottom of Nun Vav Med Aleph. The last, the second last line, Tana Rabbanon, within the Braisa.
When the Rambam says, he has to violate it, or is the simple lack of Kabbalah, is that a violation?
No, I think you have to violate it. I think you have to violate it.
That's not
the Kasha is a good Kasha. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. So the Gemara says, Shev Mitzvah, the Tzavim B'nei Noach. There are seven mitzvahs that the B'nai Noach are commanded. Here the order of the Brice is primarily the order of how they'll be derived. Because otherwise some of the Achronim raise that question. You look at the order, Dinim, the court system, Birchas Hashem, not to curse God, of a Zara, idolatry, Gilei Arayos, adultery, Shvichas Damim, murder, V'gezel, and theft, Eivin Achai, and not eating a limb off a live animal sounds like it's very... The order is counterintuitive. Why should first you should have murder and idolatry? But we'll see in a moment that this order is the order that of one of the sources. Now, according to Rambam, Avram and Achai came only to Noach himself. According to Rambam, Adam received six, and Noach received the prohibition of taking a live limb from an animal. And the reason why the Rambam puts it up that way is because, according to our position, at least Rambam's position, Adam was not commanded to have any meat anyways. So how can Adam be told, don't have a live limb from an animal? The details, and therefore that was given to Noach.
Is there not meat?
Whether it was Adam or Noach?
What's the difference?
I don't think so. I don't think it would be enough community. I don't think so. The details of these mitzvahs, how detailed must the court system be? So that we'll discuss, and the details of Ibn Achai or Sublosik we'll discuss, and Avodah Zarah perhaps we'll get to also in a few minutes. So the Gemara has on the next Amud, there are Nunvav Amud Beis, there are different positions. Rabbi Chananya Oimer Af Al Dam Ben Achai, that taking blood from a live animal would also be Osir. Rabbi Chidka Oimer, that there is an eighth, either an eighth or he substitutes Al Sirus on removing the reproductive organs. So that is, Rabbi Chidka holds, that is also imposed upon non-Jews at Isur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af al-Akishuf, different forms of magic are also. And again, that's a discussion as to whether they are substituting and we maintain the number of seven. Let's skip down to the next underline, the first underline, Nun Vav Amud Beis, Menon Emile. What's the makor for these halachas? how do we know that the B'nai Noach are commanded to keep, to observe seven halachas, seven mitzvahs? B'nai Milei. Om Rav Yechon and Omar Kira. Comes from a pasuk. Vayitzav Hashem Lekim ala Odom Leimor Mikol Eitz Hagon Achol Tochel. That when Hashem told Adam Rishon not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, so he prefaced it by saying something which sounds like it's unnecessary. The mitzvah should have been, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Right? Vayitzav Hashem Elekim ala Odom, or should be Vayitzav Hashem ala Odom. Or Vayomer Hashem ala Odom. Right? Vayomer Hashem ala Odom. The Eitz Hadas al Tochel. Right? That's how most of our halachas read. So here, Kadosh Baruch Hu first of all says, Vayitzav Hashem Elekim ala Odom. It's a much more elaborate introduction. God commands us on Odom. And then he says, by the way, first of all, you should know you can eat whatever you want to eat. However, he leads into it. So that might be a good pedagogic tool to tell the person everything you can eat, except for the Eitz Hadas. But when it comes to Torah, which is so efficient in terms of its words, so that yields the following drasha. So the Rabbi Yechanan said, "Vayitzav," that God, it says that God commands instead of "Vayomer," "Elu adinim." This is the obligation to set up a court system, and that is the that's why dinim comes first. And we'll have a chance in Mitzvah Shem at a different time to discuss how broad this obligation is, whether it's to set up the details of a civil court system, or whether it's to set up the details of what we call Choshen Mishpat, the details of the legal system itself. V'cheinu omer, why is Vayitzav referring to dinim? Ki yedativ lamanash yitzav ezbonov. Because Hashem told Yitzchak that the reason why Avraham was chosen is Avraham was chosen because I knew that he would command his children. So Yitzav ezbonov, the Gemara understands that to mean that he would make sure that the system would endure. So that's why Chazal say that the word Vayitzav doesn't only mean to command the specific mitzvah, but when we are darshaning Vayitzav because it's extra, it also means to assure that the mitzvah will make it. Hashem, why is it Hashem Elokim? Hashem Zubirchas Hashem, that we can't curse God. We derive it from a similar pasuk about the cursing of God. Elokim. So avodas kechavim, this refers to not serving idolatry. V'cheinu omer lo yelach elokim achirim elohim achirim al panoi. Al ha'adam, it says, and God commanded, al ha'adam, God made this command come upon man, so that refers to the prohibition of murder, shvichas damim. V'cheinu omer shevach dam ha'adam. Leimor zugil arayos, this is the prohibition of adultery. We bring a pasuk from Yirmiyahu where the word leimor is associated with adultery. Mikola eats, you can eat from any tree of here, v'lo gezel, you can't steal. Achol tochel, you can eat this, v'lo evim menachai, you can't eat evim menachai, you can't eat from a from take off from a live animal, the animal has to be killed first.
But,
yeah.
Right. You can't eat meat, but you also can't eat that.
Ibn Achai, correct. That's what the Kesef Mishnah asked that question. The Kesef Mishnah makes the following statement, that the Rambam felt that comment was so compelling, Rabbi Yehuda says it later on, that he therefore, the Rambam overrode the Asmachta. In other words, what's the Kesef Mishnah pointing out? He's saying that when we look at this Gemara, at first glance, can we really say that this was the vehicle by which God commanded Adam to keep the seven mitzvahs? I mean, if God said, first of all, Itzav Hashem Lekim Ala Adam, that Adam never heard. That's the narrator, that's God saying, I commanded Adam. All Adam heard was Mikol Eitz Hagan, you can eat from every tree, from every fruit. So how is Adam supposed to know about these seven mitzvahs? Right? Where is the source? Where did Hashem tell Adam Rishon? How did Adam find out about this? So apparently this pasuk is not the vehicle that God used to command Adam Rishon. When Adam Rishon was told not to eat from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, that's what he heard. Don't eat from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas. Apparently, according to this approach, there must have been some other communication, which we don't have a record of, where Hashem told Adam Rishon, there's seven mitzvahs you have to teach your kids. And in that regard, so that's where the Rambam peels off and says it's only six, because how could Adam tell his kids don't eat meat and don't eat meat from a live animal, right? But the Gemara assumes, in other words, the simple reading of the text would be that Adam Arishan was told that there's going to be a time when your kids will be able to have meat. These animals are not running around for a free ride over here. All these animals you see, they're going to be serving your children, and they will have the obligations vis-a-vis the animals. But the Kesef Mishnah, Yosef Kara, then points out that this is what we call an asmachta. This is not a real source. There is no real source, and the real source is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Some of the Achronim write, the Yosemeach writes, that there were Nevi'im, there were God had prophets, even in the times of Adam and Noach. And God revealed His will via those Nevi'im, via those prophets. And again, this only becomes an Asmachta, just a record that Chazal imposed upon the Pasuk. So the questions of why it says, Vayitzav Hashem Lekim Ala Adam, that has to be answered in a more pshat way, can't be answered in this way. That's the Kesef Mishnah approach, and that might be the Rambam's approach. And that would leave the Sheva Mishnah Noach to be, as the Rambam writes, some kind of Kabbalah that Hashem told Moshe, that Hashem told Nevi'im, and then told us via Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? There is a very different approach at the bottom of the Omer they want to focus on. Let's just make two Oros before we get to that issue, which is what I want to focus on, the derivation. And that is that there are two comments that the Gemara leads into. If you just read a few lines further, Ki Osir Rav Yitzchak, the third of the wide lines, Ki Osir Rav Yitzchak, Tani Ibcha, he had a different record. Vayitzav Zu Avodas Kechavim. Vayitzav, being commanded by God, so that is referring to the obligation to serve God and not idolatry. Elokim Zu Dinim. And the Elokim refers to setting up a court system. The Gemara says, if you've already learned the beginning of Sanhedrin, Mishloim Elokim Zudinim Dechsiv Nikrav Alavais Elo Elohim. So then you understand that the court system, you remember from the beginning of Mishpatim, is referred to as Elohim. Nikrav Alavais Elohim. You're brought to Elohim, to God. So that is, refers to the judges who were freed Smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. So I understand why the court system should be referred to as Elohim. But Vayitzav Zu Avodah Zarah, why should the word Vayitzav refer to idolatry? My mash, how do you get that? Rabbi Chizkiah, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Avidim, Echad Omar, that says, Saru Maher Min HaDerech, Asher Tzivi Sim, Asulem, when we made the Egel. So we made a golden calf, we made an Egel, and that's referred to, they veered from the path that I commanded them. So the path that I commanded them is to serve God and not idolatry. The Chadomar Pasuk from Hosea that says that Ki Ho'il Halach Acharei Tzav, that God says that Jews will be beaten by their enemies, and God will mete out justice via our enemies because we went after Tzav. And that refers to we went after the commands of other gods. So I was thinking that one could say, what is the difference whether one learns from the Cheder Egel or whether one learns from Hosea? So this may be the beginning of a raging debate during the time of the Rishonim. And that is whether Christianity is a form of idolatry or not, is a form of Avodah Zarah. And there was a major debate between the Chachmei Sfarad and the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And the reason why it was at all debated, there is no debate that for a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, to serve any kind of Christian approach, whether it's Protestant or whether it's Catholicism, is Avodah Zarah. There's no question that for a Jew it's a violation of idolatry. Right? Because for us it's called Shituf. We are conjoining the Christian approach at some level, at some place, conjoins a human being with a divine being. So Lahavdil, we only have that Jews can, that people can be prophets, people can be Nevi'im, people can be very spiritual, people can rise above their physical, but that we would actually in any way see that there's some kind of God, divine being that straddles humanity and non-corporeality, so that we can't accept. So that's a Avodah Zarah for us. There was never any question. The question is it a violation of the non-Jewish approach when God said to non-Jews you can't serve Avodah Zarah? Does God mind if they serve what's called shituv, conjoining? Or does God say, look, as long as you're not rebelling against me, as long as you don't you're not serving a pagan piece of wood or a piece of stone, so you're not rebelling against me, you're serving me, and you try to make things better, easier. You embellish on me, you broaden me, right? So that is the question: is that a violation of Avodah Zarah from the non-Jewish perspective? In other words, when with God's help, in times of Mashiach, we establish a theocracy in Israel. So then, what will our view be about Christians living in Israel? Will we say, okay, that's one. Now let's talk about the other six, right? Or will we say, I'm sorry, unacceptable. We can't, you have to give up your ideas of shittuv. That's the machlokes between the Rambam, and the Baal Tosfos. Now, over time, we won't go into this right now, people have suggested that the Baal Tosfos made their position under the pressure of living in Christian countries. That's probably not correct. And it's not going to think it's correct at all, because they state very, very clearly. There are texts that come from the Spanish countries, like the Meiri, who every so often actually made it to the side of the Gemara, and often he puts it in the front of his Svarim, that he said, when I refer to Goyim, I'm not talking about anybody who's going to censure this book. He didn't put it with his words. He said, I'm not talking about you, right? I'm talking about people who were pagans and people who were lived very, we'd call them low lives and decadent lives, but the non-Jews that we're living with, they're very fine people, and they live in a high level of concern and regard and sensitivity, and therefore references to non-Jews in this book doesn't refer to you. So that is usually seen as a comment to try to steer the censures away, and should not be taken so seriously, but even that's very much debated, because the position of the Miri was quoted in the Shittim Kubetzes, and that's very much debated whether it didn't do the Miri much good. The Miri was, in fact, whisked away from Jewish history until the 20th century. So it's funny that the one who was so concerned to make sure that his book would survive, so Lamaisa was rediscovered in the 20th century, and for hundreds of years did not have an impact, unfortunately. In any event, but the real issue of whether Christianity is Shituf or not, or whether Shituf is of a desire or not, that's a Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos. What I'm suggesting is perhaps that Machlokes begins in this Gemara, because if the source of Avodah Zarah is the Egel, according to Ramban, the Egel was a form of shituv. They weren't serving this golden calf, they were using the golden calf to get to God. So that really is a form of shituv, that's conjoining physical with the spiritual. If on the other hand you refer to the Pasuk in Hosea, so that could refer to the way that we conceive our obligation of serving God and our concern for Avodah Zarah, which would include Shituv as well. So that's conceivable. And if we have a chance, maybe that's what I mentioned, that's what I was referring to in the title that we gave this morning's shiur. I think also this ties in with the general Shitas Rambam, how Avodah Zarah began. According to Rambam, Avodah Zarah began as serving concrete objects to get to God. But was in the title I said that he put the brackets back into Olein L'Shabeach. Olein L'Shabeach till probably 30, 40 years ago, so everybody knew there was a line that was missing. Shem Mishtach L'Hevel Rik Misfalim El Lo Yoshia, that they, the non-Jew, thank God for making us Jewish. And we say, and one of the reasons we're so grateful is because they're davening, they're praying El Hevel Rik to nothingness, and to a God that can't help them. A very derogatory statement. So because of the pressure of censorship, we took it out. On the Rosh Hashanah, where Aleinu is a central part of Shemona Esrei, so we don't like fooling around with Shemona Esrei, so everybody knew that you're supposed to put it back in over there, and depending on where the machza was printed, that depended whether they actually put it there, or there was a last trick, or there was an empty bracket, so people would know, there's something here that we can't print, you should be saying, it's part of Shemona Esrei, we don't touch it on Rosh Hashanah. But we didn't put it back into Aleinu. It can appear three or four times in every single Siddur. so that the Siddur would never survive. So the question was raised. It wasn't really raised. It was just sort of rammed down that when Sidurim were reprinted in the last 30, 40 years, then we felt much more comfortable. So so you'll find in many, many Sidurim that it's back in the text. So I personally am not a fan of this. Number one, I'm not a fan of putting something back into a Siddur without discussing it with the Gedolim. It's been out for hundreds of years. So you don't start, even though I understand the argument that was put in originally, it was there originally, it was removed because of pressure. All right, but before you touch Aleinu, so you get the consensus of Gedolei Yisrael, should we put it back or not? I'm also not so sure whether we should feel so comfortable as if the comfort that we have now is going to last L'dor Doros. And then I'm not sure if it's correct. My real issue, I'm not sure if it's right. If you're living amongst Christians, should we say, if the Rambam Shita is that for a goy to serve Shituf is not a Avodah Zarah, right? So is it right for us to say about the people amongst whom we're living, many of them who don't bat on anything, right? So they're not serving anything. So to say that they're all buying down Hilariks might not be correct. And then to say something which could be condoned within their system, that's why I'm not, I think, Tzorich Iyun Gadol, before we would advocate to put it back. It may be a losing battle because the printers usually make these decisions.
Are you saying that the printers just put this back into a letter without consulting what you're defining as the consensus of Gadol Israel, as my esteemed colleague here says, that would be very hard to get a consensus of any Gadol Israel. But they just put it in.
And it's usually they quoted Shuva by my real discon, I think, but that was referring to Rosh Hashanah. And they don't know Shuva, a comment that he made in his Pirush to Chumash, which is referring to, I think, to Yom Kippur, I think. But I don't know of any Shuvas on it. I don't know of a real discussion about it.
Didn't
he
spit?
Was that?
Yeah.
All right, Ross?
I understand what took out that line because of Christian pressure. Does that mean it only refers to Christians? There are people who wish that will have a Lurik in this world, no question.
Right, but
there's more of them than there are Christians. You put together Hindus, Buddhists, whatever else, take all these different religions.
Yeah.
Forget Muslims, but they have more Christians. So I understand we took it out because the people nearby thought we were referring to them. But there's certainly billions of people in the world who are clearly wish that will have a Lurik.
Yeah, but if we say it, right?
We don't say
Shalosh
Sanat
Christian.
We say
Shalosh Sanat
Yeharatzu.
Right.
The whole world.
Huh? There aren't 2 Right. But I think the average person who says it in where we live is referring to the.
It was taken out because of the Christians.
Yeah.
So if you just read the word, though, it's talking about the world. 6 billion people. Half more are Mishnah in the late 7.
Uh-huh.
So why not put it? So why, just because we live among Christians?
Because I think that's who we're referring to when we say it.
Is it?
I think so. I think.
Also, by generalized, the team that we have in as Dari Haratzos.
That's what I think. So that's what I was referring to. That
it's not
so here. Was that?
It's not that we live such provincial lives anymore. That we only know about the other religions that are next door to us. Right. We know something about many, many religions.
Okay. I hear you saying. I would still think that.
I understand. Take it out because the locals are offended. But yeah. Back in, doesn't
know. So we should put the Meiri's caveat at the beginning of our Sidurim.
Yeah, sure.
And all references to non-Jews refer to those Hindus and Buddhists. And okay, but that's the Tzorach Iyun. That's what I. That's the Tzorach Iyun that they wanted to raise. The Ramah paskins that Shituf is not a Avodah Zarah. The Ramah paskins that was that for a guy, yeah. The Ramah paskins that Shituf is not a Avodah Zarah for a guy, and the Noda Behuda's son wrote the landmark tshuva that argued that even the Chachmei Ashkenaz should accept and the truth is that one of the arguments you could bring in favor of the Noda Behuda is that the Gemara here does not continue to ask what is the difference between these two positions, which the Gemara does ask in a detail later on. Okay, what I want to focus on now for the few minutes we have left is the bottom of the Nunvav Amud Beis, and come back to a more general look at the Shemitz Menidach. So until now we had the source was probably some oral communication between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Adam, and we only became aware of it because it was part of Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, part of Kabbalah, And Chazal then said, you know, you can find this in these words, Vayitzav L'Hashem L'Kim. It's going to be difficult, to be debated, but that'll be the written record. At the bottom of the Omer, though, We have a brisa from the Beis Medrash of Menashe, Tana de Bei Menashe. Now, Tana b'dei Menashe, they held that there were seven mitzvot in Noach, but they held that there were that sirus, that removing the reproductive organs was one of them, and they removed that they held that kalayim, that trying to graft different kind, trying to not graft when you put animals together, trying to create new species was also a violation, and therefore they removed two of them. They said that dinim was not one, and Birchas Hashem was not one. Where did B'nai Menashe, where did the B'nai Menashe get their source from? So at the very bottom, the last line, it says that Loi Dorish Vayitzav, they didn't work with Vayitzav. Hani Kol Chada V'chada B'apei Navshe. They had their own sources. Each mitzvah has its own source. Avad Azor V'gil Arayos. How do we know that the non-Jews were commanded not to serve idols and not to commit adultery, because that's the reason why the Mabul was occurred. The world was became decadent. What does decadence mean? Wherever we talk about that morality is caved in, that's referring to erva, adultery, and idolatry. And the Gemara goes on to show that where how we can show this erva from one pasuk and adultery from a different pasuk, but that means that look at the top Rashi midinish alayu shma mina ifkud alayu. Two ways of reading this. I thought we should read this that if God's going to punish them, God had to tell them. We have a rule ein oich elam kein mazirin, that we don't punish unless we're commanded. So if God says, I'm going to destroy the world because of adultery, and adultery, he must have told them someplace. We have a record that they must have been commanded. There are achronim I've seen who learned it the other way around, that once they got destroyed, then they said, okay, this is not the right thing to do. So let's, from now on, we have now been duly commanded. Right? And then they formulate the question about whether ein oinshin elon kei mazirin applies to non-Jews or not. Either way, it's a much clearer source. Either it means there's a clear reference in Chumash that there was an oral command, or it means that that this was accompanied with a direct command. Next, the Gemara says, now the Gemara says, the Idach and the ones who learned by Yitzav, Rabbi Yechanan, what do they do? Urchayu Dekum Megali, they're just telling us what was going on at that time. There's no command coming out of this. Shvichus Damim Dechziv, Shevich Damim Adam, Hashem told Noach directly. He can't murder. Nu v'idach. So what's the other position? What's the vayitzav? What's Rabbi Yechanan going to do with this pasuk? Kadlayu d'megale. It was just revealing to them that this was a concern of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that this was happening then. Gezel. How do you know that you can't steal? Ki yerek esem nasati lachem. Hashem tells Noach, animals you're allowed to have, like I've given you grass. That means God says either I give it to you, and the Gemara is even more specific. Ki yerek esem nasati lachem. Ki yerek gina. I'm giving it to you like the hefker grass, but if grass belongs, but if vegetable belongs to somebody, the person has a private garden. Post Noach, when he planted his vineyard, that was private property. That no one can take that. V'idach, what did the other person do with this? The mishri bosa, that's permit meat, and so on and so forth. Eiver v'nachai, ach bosa b'nafshei b'domai, because the Hashem says that I'm concerned about bosa b'nafshei b'domai, flesh. While the soul is still there, can't eat it. Eber Menachai is commanded. And then he has his proofs for Sirus and Mekalayim. Look at the second Rashi that I've underlined at the top. The Idach in the previous position, Manded Norish by Yitzav, the position of Rabbi Yochanan, who derives this from the previous text, Omar Lacha, he'll tell you, Azhara mi Yitzav, Huzar Adam Arishon, that by Yitzav was a command for Adam Arishon. And the Torah is simply revealing why were they punished. So again, so now if we look back, we have two different approaches to the source of the seven mitzvot in Noach. One source is the one that is much easier for us to read from the coming of the Beis Medrash of Menashe, which says, look at the psukim by Noach, and you'll see that God is commanding Noach. So perhaps you'll say that Adam may not have been commanded all these mitzvahs. Look at the sources by Noach, and you'll see that God tells Noach that the world was destroyed because of idolatry. After the world gets reconstituted, he tells you, don't rip off live limbs from live animals. Don't steal. And who's that? And Ritzich is also afterward. So that is B'nai Menashe. That is the Tana Devei Menashe. Very clear sources. And the source is Mamish and Chumash. By the previous text, so we would have such difficulty seeing that as a command to Adam, so we learn that the way the Kesef Mishnah learns it, that's an Asmachta, that there's some oral record, and it's really not, you don't find a written record of it. However, Rashi, because of the way to read this Gemara, he seems to take the previous text much more seriously. Right? Because Rashi says that the Gemara keeps on saying, well, what does the other text do with your text? What does the Vayitzav text do with, what does Rabbi Yechon do with the Beis HaMedrash of Menashe? The Gemara should have said, what do you mean, what do you do? But Rabbi Yechon wasn't talking pshat, he wasn't taking it seriously, he was just at a smachta. The Gemara shouldn't be asking, what do you do with these psukim? And Rashi explains so clearly, he says, Omer Lecha, Azhora Mitzav, the command is from Vayitzav. And over here, these psukim that the Beis HaMedrash of Menashe brings out, these psukim are just to inform Noach why his generation got punished. He's telling Noach, you got punished because you didn't keep the seven mitzvot. They commanded your great-grandfather. So that raises, and in fact, Rambam seems to allude to the previous text. So that, of course, raises a very serious question, that if we're not learning it the way the Kesef Mishnah learns, so how can this be a source? So I'd like to suggest the following possibility. That when the Gemara understands these psukim, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, Alo Odom Leimor, so what the Gemara is pointing out to us is that the mitzvah that Hashem gave to Odom only made sense if there were seven underlying mitzvahs. That's what it's saying. Vayitzav, that God is going to command, and He's going to command it, put in the context. I'm commanding you something to teach, so that it'll go on. So for Hashem to give Adam a command, and apparently to make it something that Adam has to live with, and doesn't have to raise his children with, so that means that he understands that there must be some system in place to make sure it works. Hashem Elokim, that God presented Himself. If He says, if you're going to listen to me, you're going to have to respect Him. You can't accept God as a commander and then, God forbid, curse God. And He can't accept God as a commander and serve a pagan. You can't listen to an abstract God and say, I'm not going to eat from this tree because of some abstract prophecy that I received, and then spend the rest of your time serving trees and serving stones that don't tell you anything to do. Then then Allah Adam, that God commanded this on the human species. So that significance that God gives Adam is the underlying idea of why we can't commit murder, because God is Chavav Adam, because of the special status that Hashem made Adam, and He set aside Adam from all other living beings, Leimor, that He apparently was told to tell his wife. So that means that there's a special relation that Adam has with his wife and be concerned to the Arroyos. So what I'm suggesting is that if the Gemara on Nanzainam and Aleph takes the text on the involvement base much more seriously, so we have to go back to look at the involvement base and say that somewhere in this command that Hashem gave Adam was the underlying principles of serving a God, can't be a pagan God, of respecting the God, can't be Birch Hashem, of enforcing and making sure it endures, of dinim, and of the respect for people, Shvichas Damim, family system to make sure that the mitzvah endures, Gili Arayos. So the one last pasuk, Eber Menachai, that's the one that least fits in best. You can eat from everything I'm giving you, but don't have animals. This approach would then explain one other text, which I thought was very interesting. If you look at the same page, Eser Mitzvos, the one underline that we haven't done yet, the middle of the page. We won't go into it, just make this interesting. Eser Mitzvos Nistavu Yisrael B'morah. There were 10 commandments that we were given in Morah before we received the Torah. Sheva shekiblu aleihen b'nei Noach. 7 that the b'nei Noach accepted upon themselves. Vosif aleihen, and we were given 3 more. So for this, we won't go into right now, but this makes Morah look a little bit different than we normally see it. It was already being recommanded for the 7 mitzvahs. But why does the Gemara say the seven that the Nech accepted upon themselves? Eser mitzvahs nitztavu. There were 10 mitzvahs that were commanded to Yisrael. 7 had been commanded already to the B'nai Noach. Let's look at the Rambam, the last page. The Rambam's Perek Kesalach Aleph. Al Shisha Devarim. There were 6 things nitztava onarishon that onarishon was commanded. It's interesting also, Al Shisha Devarim, there were 6 things. It doesn't say 6 mitzvahs were given to onarishon. There were 6 things about which Adam was commanded. Al Verazara, Al Berchas Hashem, idolatry, not cursing God, not murdering, no adultery, no theft. Al Adinim, a system. So listen to what the Rabbi says. Afal Pisha Kulan Ein Kabbalah B'Yadeinu. Even though all of them are ideas that we have received, Mimoshe Rabbeinu, these ideas for us come from Moshe. And they don't, our obligation, our commitment to them is not because through Adam or Noah. You should know they are intuitive. Michlal divrei Torah yireh shel elu nitzaveh, and you'll see from implications within Torah that they were commanded. And then osif l'Noach eber menachai. And then v'cheinu yadavar. This is the way it was until Avram came. Avram gave us the Bris Milah and Davin Shachris. Yitzhak gave Maser and Davin Mincha. Yaakov was commanded not to eat from the Gid Anosha and Davin Mariv. Uba Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim we received more mitzvahs. Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu Vinishlama Torah Yodav, and the Torah became complete. So there are 2 diyukim we should make in the Rambam. Number one is that the Rambam says, as is indicated by the Gemara, that the 7 mitzvah Noach is the beginning of God revealing His system. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the completion. We shouldn't look at it as an entirely separate system. And why does the Rambam belabor the point that we accept them because Moshe told us? Fine. Why does the Rambam tell us? And you know they're intuitive. And the Chlal Divrei Torah. And you'll find them implied within Torah. What's the point that Rambam's making? So if we accept this idea that the Gemara is saying that bound up with the command that was given to Adam HaRishon, the fact that he was commanded to listen to God, so that already carries with it 3, 7 underlying ideas, that there must be a non-corporeal God that we have to serve, that having respect for the source, having respect for people, not having murder, and so on and so forth. So then we can understand what the Rambam is pointing out, that these are underlying themes of any system that's being commanded. So Kadosh Baruch Hu introduced these ideas via Adam. He introduced the idea that there's a commander, that there's a mitzvah. That was what we opened up with, that Adam HaRishon has to serve, and the Menach have to keep these mitzvahs as a service to God, not because they're intuitive. It has to be part of a system that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why he says, Mechlal Divrei Torah. And that might be what it means that the Bnei Noach accepted upon themselves. Because if you're just commanded to not to serve idolatry, all right, that's a mitzvah. So don't stay away from pagan, right? If a non-Jew is commanded not to steal, all right, stay away from theft. If you accept these ideas, it means that they have a broader impact on the way that you function. That may be why the Gemara refers to they accepted upon themselves. When we accept certain mitzvahs, so that means we're not only keeping the details of the mitzvah, but we're also concerned about making sure that we don't violate them. That's a part of Kabbalah, to make sure that we make suyagim, to make sure that we don't come to violate them. So perhaps the idea of being mekabel a mitzvah that's being commanded is making sure that the in the context of the Bnei Noach, it, as the Rambam indicates, it has to be a specific Kabbalah. It has to be that they accept it upon themselves as, and that might be the source for the Rambam's idea that a Ger Toshev has to accept it upon himself, and it might refer to accepting the broader ramifications. So sikum, summary of what we discussed, is we pointed out that the 7 mitzvahs that what we call the 7 Noachai laws, 7 mitzvahs Noach, so their place in halacha is that besides establishing the moral, the universal moral code, but in addition to that, in a theocracy, so we will impose these and make them punishable on non-Jews, that a non-Jew, in order to be a ger toshav and fully accepted, has to go through a process whereby he accepts them and sees them as coming from God, and sees them as coming from Vayom Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they're intuitive. And then we pointed out that there are two sources for Avodah Zarah, and that might be the beginning of this argument as to how to evaluate Christianity. And then we, again, evaluating from a for a non-Jew, and then we discussed the two varying sources. One source, which is very clear, but not accepted by the Rambam, and the one that's the position that we don't accept because he has a different seven mitzvahs than we usually work with, but his sources are very, very clear, and are indicated clearly in discussions with Noach, and it would begin with Noach. And the less clear, which has become accepted, so I'm suggesting that according to the Kesef Mishnah, in a smachta, and we didn't go any further. It's just a record of something that was given orally, as the Or Samech writes, via non-Jewish prophets. But following Rashi's approach, which seems to be a very, very clear reading of the Gemara on Daf and Zayin, namely that this is a real source of being commanded, we have to look at this posuk and say that if God demanded certain things, then that establishes seven underlying principles, which are the principles of a body of law that's being commanded by a non-corporeal God. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's what everyone said. Dinim was
more. Right. That's
contradict everything the Rambam says.
No, because that's the Gemara goes on to discuss over there exactly which part of Dinim was not. That's the part that didn't underline. Perhaps maybe we'll discuss that Shabbos afternoon. That's the where the remote discusses how detailed a Dinim must be. Okay. So Bench, who's the resident Cohen? Bill Cohen.